Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
We pause this Buddy Hield love fest to talk about Christian McCaffrey's legs.
He's got legs, and he knows how to use them.
He might know how to use them. I knew where you were going.
Yeah, thank you.
If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. While you're there, do it for the other two shows as well, Steiny and Goo, Bonte and Joe. Brian Baldinger, for example, was on with the roast this morning. Always really good. We may get to some of his comments along with John Lynch's from the TK show a little bit later on. If you missed any of Steve Kerr, you can also hear that on the Odyssey app or YouTube, or be with us a little bit after 5 o'clock, and we'll let you hear what that whole thing sounded like. But right now, we go out to the River Islands guest line. It is time for Clear to Play, where you take you inside the tent, get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment and bring in Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya. Hey, Doc, what's up?
How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing fine, and I think you know the number one question, which is based on everything that you have read and heard and watched, what do you think the danger level is of playing Christian McCaffrey on Sunday?
I think that as long as they're good about not overusing him, the danger level is pretty low. And I know in the past when Kyle Shanahan's players coming off injury, when they're 100% or, you know, they're cleared, he says, I'm going to use them full go. And then one of the issues with McCaffrey, which I think probably led to this, is kind of overuse. So I think that if they limit his carries, use them smartly, that risk is pretty minimal. And what you worry about is if he gets like a 25-30 touch game, it's not necessarily what's going to happen during that game, but what ends up happening when you are week two, week three of his return, and that's where you worry about new things creeping up. So if they're safe, not super worried about it.
What is the connectivity between Achilles tendonitis and a dramatic Achilles injury?
Yeah, so in general, that risk is about 10% for that, you know, Achilles tendonitis leading to a rupture. And where you can manage that, prevent that, is that if a player, as they're playing, starts to get sore, starts to get fatigued, then you pull them out, then you're less worried about that being an issue. So a lot of this is going to be communication between McCaffrey, the coaching staff, the medical staff, and saying, hey, I'm feeling good, I keep pushing me, but if I start feeling soreness, that's where it happens. It's very rare to suddenly be feeling great and boom, next thing you know, that Achilles rupture. So there is a little bit of leeway with him as long as he's being honest about how he's feeling.
Yeah, and what would you sort of, I mean, I know you're not on the sideline, obviously, but the expectation in terms of, like, sometimes I guess I don't know the difference between, like, okay, you're healthy, go play, or let's kind of ease you into action and there's a ramp-up that lasts 2 to 3 weeks. What's your thought there?
I think my thought, because this is really the first week he's been out at practice, I think this is really the ramp-up period. You know, if he'd been practicing for 3 to 4 weeks, we're like, okay, when's he going to play? When's he going to play? And then suddenly it's week 14, and then you can say, look, just go all out, go full speed. But I think because this is really the first time we've seen him out there since his diagnosis on the field, I really do think that this is going to be a ramp-up where we're like, let's give you some touches, see how your body responds. Okay, let's increase it up next week, as opposed to 40 carries a game, you know, sort of process.
Is the risk of an Achilles injury mostly non-contact as opposed to a bone or a ligament where contact can maybe cause the injury to be much more acute?
Yeah, the vast majority of Achilles ruptures occur from a non-contact situation because it's really that the muscles, the tendon in that area just gets overworked and eventually it just kind of just pops. And very rarely do you get the Achilles rupture where someone like kicks you in your Achilles or something sharp kind of hits it from a cleat. The vast majority of them have been building up over a period of time and that tendon's getting overworked, micro tear. Next thing you know, it totally snaps. So that's why it happens non-contact. Very rarely is it that one step that you take that causes it. And you talk about Drake Greenlaw. It wasn't necessarily probably him running off the sideline. That probably was like that last step that finally led to him tearing it. So most of these occur over a cumulative period of time. And it just so happens when you're out there running and no one hits you.
Doc, what do you make of Dre at least sort of being out there and then also the organization? You know, we've talked about this before. They would not put any kind of a timeline on it. But now they dipped their toe in the water a little bit, like creating some optimism over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. So what do you make of those comments right now?
I think that typically means they're at the point where he's kind of passed all the physical tests. You've got your strength back. You've got your mobility back. You're able to do everything that you would need to do to return. But now we're really in that period of time, and this is hard for athletes coming off an Achilles, is how do you feel? Do you feel confident? Can you get out on that field and do things the way that made him such a great player? So that's where I think it's a little bit hard to predict. And could it be in a week? Could it be in 2 weeks? It's hard to say. That's a lot of how Drake Greenlaw feels. So I think they feel he's probably at that physical return point, but is that mental and confidence return point there? And that's where I think there's a little bit of uncertainty. But assuming that everything goes well and he's out there and doing more full speed stuff, I think that it's probably pretty soon, within the next couple of weeks.
That's exciting, yeah, to think about anything before December. December would be basically 10 months. So we're at almost the 9-month point. So for him to come back in the next couple of weeks for me would be ahead of schedule. Jordan Mason has been hampered by the sprained AC joint. What have you seen from him, and how much can the 2 weeks off between games really help that thing heal?
I think that's really what's going to be key for him, especially with him being a very physical runner. With certain running backs who are kind of, you know, doing more things that kind of outside the tackles, you can avoid that contact over that joint, which can cause it to get re-aggravated. But for him, just less opportunities to have that AC joint hit, to run into the ground, to be hit by linemen, it's going to really allow those ligaments to calm down. And with these kind of injuries, very rarely do you have an AC joint injury that goes on to surgery where it's so severe. What ends up happening, you get a hit, it gets hurt, and then you're not willing to take contact, and it's just painful to play. So getting these 2 weeks to decrease inflammation where there's not constant contact is really what I think is going to push him over the edge so that he's healthy for the next couple weeks. Typically, these kind of minor AC sprains do take 2 to 3 weeks to get better, so this gives him that time frame to heal from this and be back with McCaffrey in the backfield.
Doc, how'd you think Steph Curry looked last night?
The first quarter where he was kind of looking a little bit more tentative and kind of, you know, in the tunnel, kind of warming up, got a little bit worried there that maybe they came back a little bit quick, but then you see him in the second half and he looks like Steph Curry of old. So I think more than anything else, it was a matter of kind of getting this kind of perineal muscle issue kind of warmed up. Maybe there was a little bit of stiffness. Maybe there was a little bit of a confidence kind of testing it out, but he looks great, and I doubt that this will be another issue. It was interesting. There was a comment where they asked him, you know, how did this happen? And he said, look, you know, I sprained it the first time, and I probably should have taken time off, and then I kind of sprained it again. So I think it was just accumulation of inflammation in that area, and hopefully he's doing better now, and we'll have him nice and healthy for that Boston game tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a big one coming up tomorrow. D'Anthony Melton won't be back most likely. It hasn't been officially determined. Maybe it has with the back issue. What do you think is the prognosis of a guy who came in with back issues and now is kind of still fighting it?
Yeah, you know, I think at least based on what was reported for him last season and what they're saying right now, there hasn't been any kind of major structural concern. It looks like there was inflammation in the bone. There wasn't a report of like a herniated disc or any kind of stress fracture. So I think more than anything else, they're just trying to manage pain because, number one, you don't want, if there is irritation in the bone or something else going on, to then lead to something large. Also, with these back issues, you just don't want him to get a secondary issue because his back is sore all the time. So I think anytime you have an NBA player with a back issue, it can become problematic very quickly. We've seen players like Ben Simmons or other players who've had these kind of issues. So team's doing well. There's not really a need for him to be in at this point of the season. So I'd rather them be cautious, get this under control so it can be healthy, as opposed to having, you know, 2 weeks on and a week off and kind of have that cycle through the season.
Doc, great stuff as always. There's such an important time with McCaffrey coming back. So can't wait to talk to you again next week. Thank you as always.
No problem. Take care, guys.
All right, there he is, Doc Pandya, and the proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. So just circling back to the lead on that, I do expect Christian McCaffrey to play. I don't think this is going to be 25 or 30 touches or whatnot, but I also, just looking at the history of Kyle Shanahan, sometimes it's a little black and white thinking. Are you in or are you out? If you're in, you're in. And you know, like, again, it's not like this action this weekend is going to be the first for Christian. I know you can't simulate game speed, but this ramp up has been going on for a long time already.
It has, and that's why I wanted to ask him about the re-injury due to contact, because if this injury is not one that is usually a re-injury one due to contact, then if he's running full speed at practice, and it looks like he is, and if the Achilles are responding well, then go ahead and play him. And I'm not saying play him 25 or 30 snaps, or 25 or 30 touches, rather, but if the Achilles are going to be vulnerable just by the very fact that he's running, well, then it doesn't really matter how much you're going to run him unless he starts to feel some discomfort,
right,
or some slight pain. This is not a knee or even an AC joint with Jordan Mason where you get hit on the shoulder, ow, that really hurt, and now it's going to limit you. Your Achilles is either going to hold up or it's not.
We've been working our way through letting you hear a lot of what Buddy Hield had to say on the Jim Rome show today. Also, John Lynch was on the TK pod. We'll have more on that a little bit later, but we promised this, so let's do it. This one's really good. This is especially a week from today. Klay Thompson plays basketball at Chase Center. Buddy Hield was asked by Jim Rome today, does he put any pressure on himself to be Klay's replacement? Here's the answer.
I always wanted to play in this style of play, you know, and all I know how to do is be Buddy, you know, not trying to be Klay or trying to replace him, just be Buddy and add my strengths to this team, which is my movement and my energy and my charisma and just being me. And once you come in with the right intent and not trying to fill or replace anybody, like, good things will happen, good things will follow.
I mean, it's another...
Yeah.
It's a really good answer.
It's a great answer.
It's a really good answer.
And maybe it's partly the accent that makes him so
sure.
Endearing, but it's also his straightforward answer. I'm just trying to be Buddy. I'm not trying to replace Klay. And the reason why it works is because of my movement. And by the way, the Warriors love movement.
Well, and did you hear the word that he used there? His charisma.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I know you might be like, what's the big deal? Who answers that way? I'm here to deliver my charisma, like, outstanding.
Yeah.
Because that stuff matters. And for so many fans, you know, I think a lot of you are feeling it too, but think about what the opposite is and how many players you've complained about. You know, think of like Brandon Belt's face. And I like Brandon Belt. But
no,
like,
charisma.
You know, people were bothered by that. You're bothered by body language when it's not good. Buddy's is the opposite.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's just carefree. And
Brandon Belt!
No, he's going to go out there and get...
Buddy Hield!
He's going to go out there and get his 18 shots and, you know, do it with that charisma and that exuberance. And you see Steph on the sideline when Buddy hits a three. Steph is jumping up in street clothes and he's going bananas.
There's more to get to there. 888-957-9570 is the number, but also still ahead. How does Brock Purdy's looming contract affect what the 49ers did or didn't do today? Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. It's Willard and Dibbs.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book. on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Buddy Hield, his jumper's up and good. Three ball, right corner pocket. And again, the lead up to 11. Golden State has led by as many as 15, and they have never trailed in this game. It's been a wire-to-wire job with no time.
Bay Area, it's Buddy Hield. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7, the game. You know what, Dibs? I like your picks.
That's why you like Buddy.
Buddy!
That's your buddy. That's my buddy.
That's my buddy.
And Buddy is such a great name when you're going to the holidays anyway because of Buddy the Elf. There's that too.
I don't know about Buddy the Elf.
You don't know about Buddy the Elf.
I know about Elf on the Shelf.
No, Elf, the movie.
Oh, okay.
Elf.
I didn't know that was Buddy.
Yeah, Buddy. That's his name. Buddy the Elf.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I might have missed that one.
That's it.
I'm familiar with the movie. But
you haven't seen it? You got to come over for some alcohol and Elf this year.
Blame it on the alcohol.
The best Christmas movie.
Yeah, like, come on, dude. That's a tradition.
I can't say it's not because I haven't seen it.
Tradition
and
unlike any other.
I love Will Ferrell. I'm trying to think of, like, actors who, if you want to look at all their movies, like, if you throw out the high and the low, much like in figure skating.
Okay, that's fair.
Like,
sure.
You take their best and you take their worst, and then you take their eight or nine in the middle. And you might be able to put his catalog up against almost anybody, I think.
I mean, not bad, but especially because...
Pretty good.
Well, they're supposed to be stupid, so when they are, it's funny.
Well, unlike the Adam Sandler stupidity where he plays the same... I play the same character in every movie. I'm a golfer. Now I'm a water boy.
Yeah, but
now
if
I'm
you,
trying to do. I'm a wedding singer.
But wait a minute! Before you take shots at Adam,
I just did.
No, but somebody help me with the Netflix the Adam Sandler. It's a basketball movie. What's it called? Did y'all watch that? It was on Netflix. Adam Sandler's in a basketball movie. It's a very, very different character.
Was it Hustle?
It might have been. It might have been. Look that up for me, Lucas. I think that's the name of it.
Yes, it was Hustle.
Yeah,
and
check
also,
that out about 6 months ago.
Uncut Gems,
right?
Featured Juancho Hernan Gomez and Anthony Edwards, and Boban was in it.
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
It's not great,
I'll
but
put it in the queue.
It's worth a watch.
Fair enough.
And it's a very different character than you've seen Adam play in the past.
That would be refreshing.
Yeah,
because
yeah. It's not 50 First Dates.
You could name seven of his movies, and I've normally played the same guy. I talk the same way, and I'm usually an uneducated, rough around the edges kind of character.
Not always.
That's why Uncut Gems was so different and amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kevin Garnett was in that one, too. How about that?
Hey.
Oh, hey.
I'm going to give myself a solid four for my Sandler, and the Waterboy.
It's a three.
He was in The Water Boy, The Paper Boy, The Neighbor Boy.
Stop it.
Honestly, anyway, Will Ferrell. Yes.
I still am stuck on the fact that you haven't seen Elf. Mila's 2, what do you guys think? By the time she's 7, that's an annual tradition in your house. And if it's not, you're doing it wrong.
Well, we don't really roll like that.
Oh, yes, you do. You're not she's there a Jew. Yet. That doesn't matter.
He's an elf. Show me where the elf is in the Torah.
It's funny.
Verukata.
My mom's maiden name is Schneiderman. We're still watching Elf.
You're a split household.
I am. You should see us now.
I'm Jew adjacent. Anyway.
Back to Sandler, you can watch 8 Crazy Nights.
There you go. I've seen it. And I played the same character.
Oh, Jay Simpson. Not a Jew.
Right.
But guess who is? Hall of Famer Rod Carew. He converted.
That was a stand-up bit, which was very funny.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
22 years ago. Anyway.
Listen, I just want to tell our audience right now, there is a very, very high chance that today gets loopy. There just is. It's a big day. It's a very, very big day, and there is a lot going on. There are distractions like Dibs trying to tell me that the capital of New Hampshire is Dover.
My bad.
There's that. There's donuts outside. There's lots of them still. Plenty still available, by the way, for those of you who have not. Yes, Grady, take a look. I would argue that at least half that box of doughs is still there.
There's a good 10 left.
Don't you think?
I can count 11 and a half.
Right 11 now. And a half.
Someone took a
By
half.
The way, who are you, office person that takes half a dough?
Let me defend the half a donut.
Why?
Because at 4:23 in the afternoon, now if you're before noon, half a donut, unacceptable. But when you get after lunch, half a dough is acceptable.
It's not.
It is after
First
lunch.
First of all, there's two things.
Look at the donut commandments.
No, but you, Grady, next break, will you please report on whether or not somebody used a knife? Or did somebody put their two paws on that thing?
It's a rip.
Split
it's
that
a rip
thing
and run.
That is not
it's
appropriate.
Yep, can
it's
confirm.
A, it's a clear-cut rip.
Wildly inappropriate.
That I'll give you.
Okay.
But the half a donut after 3 o'clock is acceptable.
And I totally disagree with that because who do you think you're kidding and what do you think you're saving? Stop trying to fool yourself. Oh, it's all good.
You're fooling yourself.
I just have a half. Just stop. Nobody cares. You're fine. It's two more bites. Eat it. If you want a donut, have a donut. If you don't, then be amazing with your willpower and move on to yet another salad for the day. But don't put your grubby paws into the box, rip a donut in half, all because you think that those extra 150 calories are going to kill you. Get over yourself. Have a donut. For crying out loud, it's election night. There's a lot of anxiety out there.
You know who you sound like right now?
Who?
You sound like Kurt from the Hayward Hills. Get out of
here.
Forget about it.
You're going to eat half a donut.
Whoever took that is a little runt.
Get out of here
you
with
ate half
that.
A donut.
Are you kidding me?
You're a little runt is who you are. Nobody eats a half a donut. You're a little runt.
By the way, I'll also say this. In the times in my life where I've done that ridiculous move.
Yep.
I always end up going back and getting the other half anyway.
Hello?
So just eat the donut.
I'm going to eat it.
You eat a half now, and then you realize after an hour, let's go see if that other half is still there.
Are you kidding me?
888-957-9570 on the half donut person. Let's go live to Mark in San Jose.
Let's do it, Mark.
Hello, Mark. How are you? Mark? He's gone. You know why he's gone? Because you all spelled his name with a C. And I bet that that's not how he spelled his name. Did he say that to you, Lucas?
His take was that a half a donut after lunch is absolutely allowed.
Thank you, Mark.
And that's why he hung up, because he had a bad take, and God turned his phone off.
Wow. We're going to bring God into it. It's, again, I was very clear about my half a donut take, which is not only mature, experienced, but nuanced, because when you get to this late date, and let's just...
It's narcissistic. It's fine.
Let's play this out.
Have two more bites of donut.
Let's play this out.
All right.
We have 10 and a half donuts left, or 11 and a half donuts left, and in 34 minutes, this place will be empty. So how many of those donuts will be... remaining for you to take back to your children?
Probably 5 and a half.
At least 8.
And you know what I'm going to do with the half?
You'd probably throw it in the garbage.
I'm going to throw it in the trash.
You're going to eat it on your walk to the elevator.
Damn right I am.
I know you better than that.
I do like this person. 510, thank you for texting in. Depending on the donut, I submit that one can pick up the donut and break off half of it without touching the other half. I'm mainly thinking about old-fashioned donuts, which I would submit my number one ranked donut.
Me too.
Chocolate old-fashioned. And you can. Yep. It's dense enough that you could go, whoop, you could just fold it and half of it's going to come right off. But those are glazed raised out there. Yep. And you can't do that. Somebody grubby pawed that half a donut.
No doubt. Right. And I don't see any sanitizer or napkins out there. So
nope, but I see COVID. It's all over that donut.
Well, in that case, I'll all be right. off for the next 5 days.
We should probably
because I was all up in that.
All right. Hey, so I'm fascinated by what the Niners did today at the trade deadline, not because it was a fancy pickup, but because of sort of the messaging behind it. So they pick up Khalil Davis. Not Khalil Davis, he's already on the team, but Khalil Davis, 7th round pick in exchange for Khalil Davis, defensive tackle, Houston Texans. And they did it at the buzzer. And we had heard that they wanted a depth piece. And I'm also betting that based on the fact that it was at the last minute, I bet he was not the Niners' first choice. You know, that's the other thing. You wanted them to be more aggressive at the defensive line position. I bet they were trying to be. But what do we know about John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan? They're not going to get willy-nilly with draft picks at the trade deadline. They're not going
to
do that.
For Christian McCaffrey.
I don't think that that's willy-nilly. That's Christian McCaffrey, and they did not touch their first round.
Third, fourth, fifth, and a sixth.
Right, but that, and that's for a star.
But as you saw today, many players better than Khalil Davis, and I haven't seen a lot of tape on him. I'm just going by what I've read and stats and analysis and scouting reports, and a lot of better players could have been had for a fifth or a sixth round pick, and they parted with only a seventh, which, as we know from the Niners, that's a pretty big deal. They've done pretty damn well in the seventh round, so I don't take it lightly that they parted with
a
seventh.
I don't think they take any of them lightly, and sometimes I think we also forget that those draft picks don't necessarily turn into players. You can compile those draft picks and move up. Like, that's one of the most important things in the draft.
True.
In any round where you're sitting there going, there's our guy, there's our guy, and you're like, okay, it's the mid-sixth. Well, we have a late sixth, and we have an early seventh. Well, then stop messing around. If that's your guy, package those two picks, move up, and get your guy. So I think that sometimes we go, oh, it's for a seventh. Well, that seventh could be part of turning it into a sixth or a fifth. Or you give up your sixth, and that could have been part of getting into the fifth or the fourth. Like, these matter. They are assets, and they treated them that way. But I do think there's a second message. I do think there's a second message. And that is that the 49ers know that in the next few years, they need cheap labor. It looks like they did a great job in this year's draft of getting a bunch of cheap labor. And they're going to need more, and that is because of Brock Purdy's looming contract. John Lynch on the TK Pod with regard to planning ahead and Brock Purdy.
We are always doing planning. You have to. If you're doing your job, it's 3 years out. You're constantly planning. And then things happen, like the quarterback numbers explode, you know, this offseason. And so you're constantly monitoring. We can't even touch Brock until the end of this season. Brock's still a young player. We're just focused on this season. Now, me in the front office, we're always planning on those things. And at the appropriate time, we'll address that. But right now, we're focused on Tampa. We're focused on the second half this season and being the best we can be, because we think that's pretty good. And we think it's a team that can compete for the whole thing. And that's why we're doing this.
Let me throw this in too. This is Lynch on the TK Pod saying that if paying the quarterback changes philosophically the way you go about building a roster.
I think you do. When I was broadcasting, I watched this happen with the Seahawks. And when Russell got paid, you know, they were a team much like us, similar roots to their scheme that ran 8 or 9 deep. And I remember sometimes, like, it was a guy like, you know, Red Bryant, who was an important run stopper of their team. Well, he won there the next year, and attrition starts to, you can't pay everybody. That's the challenge. And sometimes it's the depth. It's not the star players. It's the depth, the quality depth.
So I think that what you saw at the trade deadline today was a combination of the 49ers knowing that they do have some reinforcements coming from within the building, that they do value their draft picks, and valuing their draft picks also has something to do with the fact that they're going to pay their quarterback pretty soon.
Yes, and you know, when you look at what they have on the books already and what they have the books and they want to keep going into next year, you've got Trent making a lot, you've got Debo making a lot, Brandon Ayuk is making a lot, and he won't play for probably half the year, and you've got Nick Bosa making a lot, and Fred Warner and George Kittle, and those are all players for at least next year that you want to have back. And I know Brock's deal doesn't kick in next year, but when it gets signed, it's going to be looming, and that big, big number is going to be out there. And so, yes, you need to have some affordable labor, some rookie contract labor, and this year, right now, if you were to grade the Niners draft from 2024, it would be either an A or an A+. And you know I don't do A-pluses, but across the board, you're getting contributions from everybody, literally everybody, including Bethune, who's been a special teamer, but Pooney and Green and Mustafa and Garendo and Pearsall now is emerging and Cowing on special teams. And I may have left a guy or two out, but this draft class has been amazing for that. So you look at next year in the 2025 draft and you think, all right, if we can land another 4 to 6 legitimate contributors, well, then that's going to offset the burden the next year when you have to pay Brock Purdy.
Now, the other side to that is obviously the rest of this year, which matters to people. And we got into what I thought was an interesting conversation off the top of the show about whether or not you look at two things. A, a 4-4 record, which is disappointing. And B, the fact that the 49ers were not overly aggressive here at the trade deadline. Do you take that to mean that the 49ers sort of don't believe in themselves? Like, I've heard a lot of people today suggest, yeah, you're not going all in for this because we're just not as good as Detroit. So, not going to win a ring this year. Might as well start getting ready for next year, kind of a vibe. And I don't really buy that. And here's something that Lynch said with regard to whether or not this team right here, this one, is good enough.
Well, I think I truly believe we're good enough to survive even those things. Now, those type of things, they're fairly devastating when you have it in your grasp and you feel like you gave it away. You have to give some credit to those teams. And as we're seeing, Arizona's pretty formidable. The Rams are making a little run here. So, but we had those games in control. You know, I think there's so much belief in who we are as a team. What can we do? What we can do if we start doing the things we expect ourselves to do, and it is the fundamental things. It's scoring touchdowns as opposed to kicking field goals. It's continuing to take the football away. It's getting off the field on third down. And sometimes those things come down to just communication, better communication, not having the missed assignments. And we played a lot of people, and sometimes those things come with that. But then hopefully you get better as the season.
Yeah, I look at the second half of this season now, and I know we're all focused on Christian McCaffrey, but to me it goes so much deeper than that. This is what the 49ers need. If you want to still be optimistic about this season, it is Christian McCaffrey playing the remainder of the year. It is relative health for the majority of the receiving core. Juwan Jennings that coming back is not to be undersold. And Debo needs to stay in there, maybe miss one game or something like that the rest of the way. They need Dre Greenlaw to come back. And then the biggest key of them all, they need some of the guys who are already playing to play better. They need their defensive coordinator to step into his role. They need all of that to look like a concert, which is what it is. And through the first half of the year, there was not enough time where it looked like a concert. But I say that all of that to say that if anybody thinks the 49ers inside those hallways don't think that they are a Super Bowl contender this year, I firmly disagree. I think that, and I know that they think that.
Yeah, you're a contender, but are you going to be in the same spot as you were last year to be poised to be the one who emerges, the champion of the NFC? And last year, you put yourself in a spot where you had the best possible route to be the NFC champion, and you were. You had home field advantage throughout, which gave you the bye, which gave you two home games, and you had to struggle to win both of those, yet you did, and you went to the Super Bowl. This year, as it looks, are you a contender? Of course you are. Do you need to win the division to be in the playoffs? I think that's the most likely route, and you and I talked yesterday about a wild card team out of the NFC West, and it doesn't seem that likely unless some of these other teams fall off. So even if you win the division, you probably won't be the one seed, which means you won't have home field throughout and you won't have a bye. So now you have to win three games, including at least one, if not two, on the road, and you don't have that week off, and so it becomes a much more difficult road. It doesn't mean you're not a contender. I believe you are a contender, but last year you were the favorite, and now you're not the favorite anymore.
Well, I also think sometimes, like, we're looking at that word in the middle of the regular season, and that's not the time to look at it.
The word contender?
Yeah, well, Eli Manning has two Super Bowls. Did they ever look like contenders at any point the entire year? And then you get to the playoffs and you get hot.
Yeah, I'd have to look at those years, and they were always, you know, close to the top of their division.
I mean, the New York Giants 1 year under Eli Manning did it, I believe, with a 9-7 record out of the wild card and never played a home game, if memory serves. And that may well have been the team that beat the Patriots, who hadn't lost a game all year. I might be mixing the two Giant-Patriot games, but either way, you get my point. There was 1 year that Eli Manning won the Super Bowl out of the wild card, and they played the entire playoff run on the road.
Yeah, 2007 would be that year. They were 10-6,
okay,
and they were 6-2 going into the bye, so they were good, and then they lost, win, lost, win, win, lost, win, lost. They went 4-4 over the final eight, including that loss to the Patriots. They lost 38-35. I'll never forget, I was at Macy's with the ex-wife and the two kids at the Cheesecake Factory. And, you know, the top floor of the Macy's here in Union Square, we were trying to grab a little meal, and the maitre d' said, yeah, it's going to be about 2 hours. And so it was one of those, like, oh my God, what do? The kids are melting down, and the wife is hungry, and she sees a couple at a table just outside the bar, and they're kind of wrapping up, and she went over there, and, hey, you know, I'm here with the kids, and this and that, and she kind of hovered, and then, swoop, we got the table, and we watched the second half of that game as the Patriots wrapped up an undefeated year at 16-0. Come to find out that in the Super Bowl, it was payback time,
yep,
and the Giants won it, but they were 10-6, to your point, that year. Not also Rams, but, you know, in the second half, they did go 4-4, to your point.
I mean, I would also look at it this way, and I wonder if we can sort of do a compare and contrast, because you said something earlier that I want to circle back to. The Chiefs are 8-0. You believe in them?
Well, yeah.
You think they're going to win the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay.
But I wouldn't bet against them.
Of course. But my point is that through eight games, we are allowed to have what is sort of an anti-mathematical opinion. The Kansas City Chiefs have not lost a game since Christmas. And we're some of you, have you bought any Christmas or Hanukkah gifts yet? I have. We're getting that close.
You're an eager beaver.
Well, I've changed a lot through the years.
Well, I used to
love waiting until December 20th to do all of it.
If I can give you 20 seconds on Hanukkah,
go.
That thing sneaks up on you.
Not this year, though. I think it's late.
No, I don't think.
It's not?
See, again, this is one of those things where you got to Google it.
I thought it was late this year.
The thing about Christmas, and we can take the Christ part of it out of it, because either you partake or you don't. That thing's in a fixed position.
Do you want to know, you want to know what Hanukkah's first night is this year?
I would love to know, Mark.
Ready?
Yeah.
December 25th.
I love it.
Perfect! We can all party together!
Well, and Kwanzaa is December 26th. Kwanzaa is in a fixed position.
And that is Hanukkah's first full day.
Christmas is in a fixed position. Hanukkah, that thing's a moving target.
Moves, yes.
That thing will sneak up on you.
It's like Chase McLaughlin hitting a field goal on a Monday night.
Dude.
Sometimes it's like,
you just never know.
Where the hell over there?
You just never know.
Seriously, you wake up on December 3rd. You're like, why are you lighting candles? Wait, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, it moves.
It does.
It moves more than any holiday all year long.
No doubt.
Okay.
You mentioned Kansas City.
Yes.
At 8-0. If you just wanted to, and I love this as far as like looking at football, especially sports in general, but football, if you had no scoreboard and you just watched the game and you had to judge it like a boxing match, like you watch a football game and then you judge it and you go to the three judges and you determine the winner that way, they would not be 8-0.
No.
They would probably be 5-3, maybe 6-2. If you look at the advanced analytics, like DVOA, which is defense adjusted value over average, which many people think, like the Brainiacs, like Grandy, they look at this stat as maybe the best stat to indicate overall effectiveness. Kansas City is ranked number 3 in football.
I'd argue they should be maybe 6-2.
Fair.
Like, they definitely got outplayed against the Bengals week 2, and they hit a 50-something yard field goal at the buzzer to win by 1. I thought they got outplayed the following week in Atlanta.
What about the opener against Baltimore?
Well, they were leading most of the way. Yep, I know that Isaiah Likely had a toe on the line, and it would have been tied and all that, but the Ravens were playing from behind.
Yep.
I thought the Chiefs won that football game.
KC is number 3 in DVOA behind Detroit, who's 1, and then Baltimore.
Yeah, and most people think those are the 2 best teams.
Yep.
So if you can look at 8-0 and go, I don't think they're going to get there, why can't you look at 4-4 and say that I do? Or and, that you're at least open to it.
And the Niners, by the way, are ranked number 5 in that same metric.
That's pretty good.
4-4.
That's pretty good. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right. There's a lot more to get to with the Golden State Warriors. They're 6-1 start. The fact that they're in Boston tomorrow. Plus, if you missed our conversation with Steve Kerr, we loved it. We always do. That is a little bit less than a half hour away. So stay right where you are on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Mark, do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yes. Yeah. I never take that as criticism. I was born here. I was raised here. These are my teams. Plus, there's also a secondary part of it. I don't like the, how should we say this? The rampant and immediate negativity that is thrown at a lot of athletes and coaches in an unfair way. That's all I'm saying.
Like me burying Khalil Davis before he even sets foot in Santa Clara?
I want to be careful.
Because I'm out on Khalil Davis.
You don't even know what the hell he looks like.
Thank you.
He's sitting next to us and you're like, hi, my name's Dan.
What's up, KD?
Yeah, like what I mean by that, it does not mean you're not allowed to criticize people or assess people or what have you. But sometimes I wonder about larger picture versus smaller picture. So in other words, let's take it to the conversation we were just having about the 49ers. We can apply it to the Warriors here in a second, too. You're going to look at the 49ers, and I heard this a lot today, and you're like, look, you're 4-4. The Lions are amazeballs. Do you really think you're a contender? And then you don't do a whole lot at the deadline, and you're like, see, not smart for the Niners to do this because they're not truly a contender this year. So what you're doing is, if you feel that way, in my opinion, you're taking essentially, because the numbers that tell you are not a contender, forget Vikings game and Chiefs game, they were outplayed. But the other two games that kind of had wackadoodle finishes and the Niners lost, you're going to take those two games and let that decide what we have seen is the opposite of 5 years of evidence. It's 5 years now that the Niners have been right there. And at minimum, even if you want to be mad that they haven't gotten over the top, you have to use the word contender. You have to.
Well, I would not look at 5 years. I would just look at this year. Well, you can look at a track record.
Yes.
And see a track record, and that can help to inform your opinion. But when it comes to an opinion about this year's team, I just want to focus on this year's team. And you look at 4-4, and you see a team that very well could be, and you could use should be, but they certainly could be 6-2. And then I start to look at the things that actually are, and what is a reality about this team. Well, they're the only team in the division with a positive point differential, and I do think that that matters after 8 games.
Yep.
And you look at Arizona, the Rams, and the Seahawks, they're all in the minus. And in fact, the Niners only trail 5 teams in the conference in point differential, and I do think that that is a thing, because even when you lose close games, and you've had a couple of blowout wins. Then I look at other advanced metrics, like I mentioned DVOA, which is they look at every single play, and they adjust it based on the defense and the situation and what actually happened in the play, offense, defense, and special teams. And when you look at that metric, you're number 5 in football, even though you're 4-4, and you're ahead of teams like Washington at 7-2.
Yeah.
Green Bay and Philly and Pittsburgh.
That's interesting.
All with 6 wins. Houston with 6 wins. Atlanta with 6 wins. You're ahead of them. So what this number is telling me is this number is saying you should be 6-2. And in fact, they even have an estimated wins column.
Yep, what do they got?
6.4. So they should be 6.4 and 1.6, which really means 6-2. And Detroit should be 8.4 and negative 0.4. So Detroit should be 8-0.
Wow, they should have a win that they haven't even played yet?
Correct.
That's incredible. They are good.
Kansas City should be 7-1.
Detroit is good.
And Minnesota should be 7-1. And Baltimore should be 6-3. But well, anyway, you look at this number compared to the actual record, and you see the Niners are two wins short of what the stats tell you they should be.
Well, and I think that that is like, come on, let's be a little predictive here. Like, things tend to even out. And I guess this is the bottom line of what I'm sort of saying with this, is I don't need everything to be perfect at the 8-game mark to be convinced that the Niners are good. And I think it's silly, the idea that the Niners, as an organization, would behave at the deadline and at the bye week and at the halfway point, if you will, that they would behave as if those two losses are supposed to determine now conceptually what you're doing going forward. Why would they do that? Like, I think it's absolutely bananas, the idea to think that the 49ers are not at least likely, I can't guarantee it, it's life, it's sports, but like they've got to be operating under the idea that they're winning the NFC West and hosting round one.
Right.
Why would they not think that?
At the very least, they're thinking we can get to 10 wins and be a wild card. I don't think that in that building there's any thought of, geez, 4-4 with no Ayuk and a McCaffrey maybe and Greenlaw hopefully. Geez, maybe this just isn't our year, darn it. We've got 9 games left to go, including 3 divisionals. And if they just win those divisional games and then they split the other 6, you wind up at 10-7 with all tiebreakers, and I believe you win the division. So you're really looking at 3 games in the division that are super important. And then beyond that, you're looking at 3 games outside the division that are important. And then 3 other games that are not totally unimportant, but Miami and Buffalo, those are games that you'd like to win, but those to me are less important.
Yeah, agreed. And then take that conversation over to the Dubs. Now, Steve Kerr, you're going to hear in less than 15 minutes, full conversation that we had with him earlier. And there's all kinds of good stuff in there. But hang out for his answer when we ask him about these next 3 games. And we sort of say, is it fair that a lot of people are like, yeah, that's fun. You're 6-1. Good for you. Show me over these next 3 games at Boston, at Cleveland, at Oklahoma City. By record, the 3 best teams in the NBA. Between them, 1 loss. One loss. So his answer to that, I thought, was great. He's like, basically, it's completely fair. I'm not really assessing this team yet. Now, that said, let me throw this at you. Whenever we look at any team in sports and we go, that's great that they have a good record. They haven't played anybody. I remember when we did this to the Niners the first Super Bowl year. And what were they? Like 5-0?
Yep.
6-0. And we're like, yeah, you haven't beaten anybody. And there was a game that year, Carolina was considered really good. And there was a game against Carolina here in Santa Clara. And I think the Niners were, I'm just guessing here, they were maybe 7-0. Panthers were like 5-2 or 6-1, something like that. And the Panthers even spoke publicly about it. They were like, yeah, they're 7-0. They ain't played us.
Yeah, 6-0 going to take on Carolina at home.
Okay. The Niners won by 1,000 points in that football game.
Not quite, but close.
How many was it?
38.
Okay.
51-13.
My belief in sports is that if you are playing crappy competition, but you're winning consistently by double digits, you're good. That means you're good. So they might be 6-4 Sunday night. They might be. You're still not going to knock me off of the idea that they're good, because those are, quite frankly, possibly the 3 hardest assignments that the NBA has to offer this year. And so we'll see. We'll see how they do. But at 6-1, every time, home or road, I understand what happened in the second half Saturday night. Runs happen in the NBA. But for the majority of the quarters against this lesser competition this year, home or road, they have dominated. Definition, good.
Yeah.
Good no
matter,
team.
No matter who you're playing. And, you know, the other teams that you're playing, they have athletes who are also getting paid to play basketball. So this is not like watching a college football team go up against an FCS team and, you know, one of your top five powerhouses beats whatever A&M Tech State 65-3. These are pros taking on other pros. So, yes, even though your schedule hasn't been that rough yet, you still have to go out there and win these games. And that's the same thing in football where, you know, you play whoever you're going to play. And that being said, the Niners do have a tough schedule in the second half.
Sure.
You've got, you know, Detroit and Buffalo and Green Bay, three of the better teams in football. You know, many people think Detroit is the best, and Buffalo is certainly top six, and Green Bay is top eight, and Miami with an actual quarterback now, and they didn't trade Tyreek Hill, and that's a road game. That's tough. And Tampa Bay is playing for their playoff lives in many ways, having lost last night. They know that they are going to have to probably win 11 games to be a wild card, and they're sitting in a spot where Atlanta's starting to move away from them. I saw earlier today Atlanta's now minus 1,000 to win that division.
Yeah. What is this, 6-3, and Tampa's, what, 4-5?
Yeah, 4-5. Okay. And yeah, Tampa's.
So two full games.
Exactly. And I think the tiebreaker also in hand for Atlanta. So that becomes. I think Atlanta beat Tampa Bay already this year.
They
did.
Obviously, they play again.
Yeah.
Obviously, they play again.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, now Tampa's going to have to not only win that game, but a couple of others along the way. So Tampa's playing with a certain amount of desperation this Sunday on their own.
888-957-9570. We'd love to take your Warrior calls. And now, here's something Draymond Green said after the game about this, which I love, even though maybe it's a little counterintuitive to the point that we're making right now. We get why he's saying it. Draymond Green is a leader of this team, and he is sending us a very specific message before they play their three hardest games of the year. This is what he said about their 6-1 record.
I think we're establishing who it is that we want to be. We want to be a great defensive team. We want to get out and push tempo. And we want to keep our turnovers down. Historically, we've been a team that has turned the ball over a lot, and that has fallen the shoulders of me and Steph. And, you know, coach has challenged us to change from a team that turned the ball over a lot, and the decisions that, you know, we may make that's kind of tested pushing the line a little bit, to not make those decisions, you know, and be solid. And, you know, that's the mindset that we're coming out with. And, you know, so as far as an assessment, I'm not really assessing. You know, our 6-1 doesn't mean anything, just like their 2-4 doesn't mean anything. You're just trying to get better each and every day. Winning a championship or competing for a championship is a year-long process, and we're just trying to embrace that process and hopefully give ourselves a chance at the end.
He's right, but he's also wrong because, and he knows this, because the Western Conference is the way it is right now. And you've got to bank every win that you can get, because these little, oh gosh, like, you know, you trip up against Washington, no big deal. Actually, right now, big deal. Because you can get to the end of this thing, and I swear, two losses could trip you up to go from the 4 seed to the 8 seed and in the play-in tournament. It might be that close with how much talent there is in the West.
What happened last year when
exactly,
you know, those early losses might have tripped you up? You wound up one game out of the 8 seed, and you were tied with Sacramento for the 9, and you were 3 games out of the 6. You could have, you know, been up where Phoenix was, 49-33, and you were 4 games out of the 5, 5 games out of the 4. And I could go on and on, but forget the top three, which had a little bit of separation. It was a separation situation is what it was. But, you know, you were only 5 wins away from being the 4 seed. And so those games you kicked away early, the games you blew, the games Draymond missed, et cetera, all those added up. And, you know, how many people have told us that, you know, if Draymond would have played a normal rec games, that's a 50-win team. Well, if you're a 50-win team, you don't have to worry about that annoying play-in, and you get an actual series. So your point is very well taken and well made.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.